man that composed your music. His life was revolutionized. You see, we are country club mentality people. So let's not act like we have it all together. And let's pretend that Lakeside is a place where maybe somebody could meet Jesus. Are you satisfied?
I'm beginning to see the light.
Well, the scripture for this morning is found in Matthew chapter 1. It's on an insert in your bulletin. It'll be up here on the screen as well. When Roger read the Christmas story, he read from the Gospel of Luke. And if you read Luke's account of the Christmas story, there tends to be a focus on Mary's involvement. When Matthew writes the Christmas story, all true from a different perspective, the focus is on Joseph. And so I'm going to read just a couple of verses, Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18, and we're just going to focus really in. I'll mention a couple of things, but we're really going to focus in on towards the end in verse 23, where it talks about his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now I'm going to be very respectful of your time this morning. I'm just thankful that you came out in the snow, and I just trust that it'll be worth it to you for having done whatever work you did to get here this morning. And so we'll just share a couple of thoughts around this idea that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. So it'll be up on the screen. You also have a insert in your bulletin. I'm just going to read starting at verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. And remember, Matthew is looking at this with a little bit more focus from Joseph's perspective. Matthew 1 and verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband, notice it doesn't say Jesus' father, and her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. That's his purpose for coming. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet and the prophets Isaiah 700 years earlier. This prophecy, the angel reminds Joseph what the prophecy is in verse 23, a quote right out of the book of Isaiah 700 years earlier. Behold, the virgin shall conceive. That's miraculous. We often talk about the virgin birth. And really, when you think about the birth, there were a lot of things that were abnormal that took place. But really, it's the conception of Mary that's virgin, not necessarily the birth. But behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he, Joseph, called his name Jesus. And so you have here recorded, as is recorded in numerous places in Scripture, the virgin birth or the virgin conception. Jesus was born of an earthly mother without the need of an earthly father. That's called virgin birth or virgin conception. It's a miracle. God is the father of this child. Mary is the mother. Now, I just want to point out just one little tidbit of information. If you look down in verse 25, you'll see that Joseph did not have any kind of sexual relationship with Mary until she had given birth to a son. You can go throughout Scripture, read John chapter 7, and you'll find out that Mary and Joseph had children. They had children together, and Joseph was the father. It was just after Jesus and not before Jesus. But in respect of your time this morning, let's think about this phrase found in verse 23, this prophecy, really, this title, this name that was going to be given to the Christ child, and his name is Emmanuel, which is God with us. In Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 8, you have that name, Emmanuel, and then only one time in the New Testament, found right here in Matthew, is Jesus called Emmanuel, God with us. And literally, if you were to read it as the original people in the original language would have read it, it literally reads like this: He's the with us God. We say God with us because it flows a lot better in English, but when it was written, the emphasis was on the fact that He's with us. He's the with us God. And so just think with me as we just try to wrap our mind around a couple of thoughts about Jesus born on Christmas Day, or what we celebrate as Christmas Day. Emmanuel, God with us. Now think with me just a little bit. His name reflects His desire. He wants to be with us. That's God. He's not in heaven with a big sledgehammer watching Dave mess up day in and day out with a big sledgehammer waiting to pound me on the head. He's Emmanuel. He's the with us God. It's His desire this very day, this season, whoever you are here this morning, God has a desire to be with you. Now, just let me give you just a little bit of history. So from the beginning of time, God created the world for the purpose of God dwelling in it and on it. That was His purpose. He created Adam and Eve, and He walked in the garden with them. That was His ideal purpose, to create this world filled with people where God could walk with them. He would be their God and they would be His people. And then Adam and Eve chose to sin and they separated themselves from a holy God. But just think with me just for a moment about Emmanuel, the with us God. God didn't hide in Genesis 2 and chapter 3. God didn't hide from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve hid from God. If you read the story, God's the one calling out as He's walking in the garden, Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? So to cut to the chase a little bit, the message of the Bible is not about man's desire to be with God. It's really about God's desire to be with man. That's the story, really, if you had the truth about your own life. If you're connected with God or you're seeking after God, Scripture is very clear, and that's because God is first working in you. We love Him because He first loved us. Matter of fact, if you check out the phrase that's used right here, I am with you, it's one of the most frequent promises in the Bible. God would often tell somebody that He called to do something, I'm with you. I want you to know. I came for you. I'm with you. When Abraham was told to go into a foreign country, God said, I will be with you. When Moses was told to go to the hostile Pharaoh, Moses said, I can't do it. Man, I can't go there. And God said to Moses, I just want you to know, I'm going to be with you. Joshua followed up Moses, and Joshua was kind of worried too, even though he was a strong military leader. And God said, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, wherever you're going. To the disciples, He often said, I'm going to be with you. The very last verse of Matthew chapter 28 is, behold, I'm with you always, even till the end of the age. It's His desire, it's His promise. As a matter of fact, think about it. Jesus chose to keep His earthly body when He ascended into heaven. Now, we don't often think about this. We say, well, he just took off from ground and He just went straight up into heaven. And we kind of think of this spirit kind of being, and he just kind of vanished. And I've told you, because of the generosity of the church family, Deb and I went to Israel, and we stood very close, probably within 100 yards of where Jesus ascended into heaven. And you remember the angel said to the disciples, don't worry, because as you have seen him go, just like you've seen him go, he's coming back. So just think with me and use your sanctified imagination just a little bit. He chose, God doesn't do anything without purpose. He chose to keep his earthly body and return back up into heaven to be seated in this unbelievable circle of the Trinity, only this time he's with his body. He chose to stay human for eternity. He chose to be like us for eternity. He chose to be with us for eternity. Here's one of the favorite promises of mine in all the Bible. When the new heaven and the new earth comes, you don't need to turn there, but in Revelation 21 and verse 3, here's what it says. So John heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will be with them. This is the future. And they will be his people. And he will wipe away every tear. Death will be no more. There won't be any mourning. There will be no crying. This is Revelation 21 and verse 3. There will be no pain. I'm quoting straight from Scripture. He will be with them and they will be his people. That's God's desire. His name is his desire. So I don't know where you're at this morning. I know where some of you are at. You're in a lonely place. And this Christmas season, seeing these kids up here makes it a lonelier place. We have couples and women right here in this church who have lost children. And so this name that God chose to be called at his birth that was prophesied 700 years before is not without purpose. It's not without meaning. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Or literally you could say God came to us. So the Christmas story is the story of God coming to us. That's what it is. Karl Barth, I wouldn't normally quote him, but he had a little phrase that I read this week, and it really got me thinking. Here's what he said. Put your thinking cap on here a little bit. God chose not to be God without us. God chose not to be a God without us. We have a relationship, or we know God because God took the initiative. He came down. He chose not to be alone in heaven. He didn't need us. He chose a relationship. Now, you all, maybe like me, have come from different religious backgrounds. Maybe some of you have no religious background. I would imagine if we took a poll and I had you filled out a sheet, what was your religious upbringing? We would have Lutheran, Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, Pentecostal, Jehovah, you know, whatever, 10, 12 different kinds of religion. But in my thinking, I think most religion misses Jesus being called Emmanuel, God with us. Every religion, even much of Christianity, begins with this mistaken notion, and it's a notion that I believed for a long time, this mistaken notion that God is up there and we're down here. So we imagine ourselves having to do something to reach up to God. Every religion has some kind of hoop you jump through to get to God. Like God's up there and I'm down here. I'm very, very thankful, and I'm not going to have her stand up and blush, but my mom's here today, and I'm very thankful for my mom and brother and family, some of them that are here, and I'm not going to have her stand up, but I'm very thankful that all of my life, since I can remember, and I have a memory of a two-year-old back in Sac City, Iowa, or a one-year-old right in there, right before we moved, I have a memory of going to church. That is my background. And Mom cared enough to make sure that we went to church. And as I get older, she's found out that a couple of times I ditched church. You know, that never, you guys have never done that, I know. But it was her desire that her kids be in church to find out about God. And so this isn't her fault whatsoever, but I grew up thinking God was up there and distant, and I was down here, and somehow there was this huge gap. I think God was working in my life because I wanted to know something more. I wanted God to be more real. And I think a lot of religion is like that. I pray that's not the way it is at Lakeside Fellowship. You may be here today thinking, God is far from me. I don't know what you're talking about, Dave, or I don't know what they're singing about, I don't know what the joy is. That's not the God I know. Well, to be clear from Scripture, that's a wrong notion. God is not far from you. We could go through and in my notes, and cutting this so much, in my notes I got all of these verses about how God desires a relationship with us, and He wants to be real to us, and He wants to be a presence in our life. And the story of Christmas is the story of the extreme love of God that would allow Him to come down to earth. Come down here. Our sins, if you follow Scripture and you believe the Word of God, and I do, and Lakeside does, our sins have made it impossible for us to go to God. If you think that you're going to go to God and hand Him your human resume at the end of your life, you are sadly mistaken. He's going to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Your sins have separated you, Scripture says, from a holy God. So God took the outrageous step to come to us. That's Christmas. God coming to us in the form of His Son, who took on flesh so that He could live a sinless life, and He could die on the cross so we could have sins forgiven and a relationship restored. That is Christmas. That is God. This unbelievable thing that He would love people who aren't really loving Him, and He would go to them because they can't get to Him. I was just praying this morning that somehow, God, would you return the wonder of that very thought to me, who I believe it and I know it, but I take it for granted now. God coming to me because I couldn't get to Him. I think of that picture of the when there was the water going over the kind of the spillway down in the Des Moines River, and the older couple went over in their little fishing boat. They couldn't stop, and the lady was bobbing up and down, and the Des Moines Register took pictures, and a guy on a crane chained himself in. He swung out over the river, and the husband drowned, but the woman reached out somehow, bobbing up and down, and the guy came and reached down and grabbed her. That is the picture of God reaching down and grabbing us. Revelation 3 and verse 20, which was written to a church that included genuine followers of Christ and some who weren't, but this is the heart of God nonetheless. Just listen to the heartbeat of Christ Himself. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's talking about your life and your heart. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. It's all God going, and He's knocking and He's knocking, and He doesn't stop knocking. He's not only come to earth, He's come to you. And what does He ask? It's not a big hoop to jump through. It's what we do every day when somebody knocks on our door. We generally, unless it's a bill collector or, you know, whatever, I guess we don't always do this, but generally if somebody from the church that you recognize came and knocked on the door, you would open up the door and you would invite them in. That's what God is saying. Jesus at Christmas took on flesh. He's knocking on the door of your life, and He wants in. He just wants in. Philip Yancey, who wrote a book on prayer, said this, and I was challenged this week by this. He said, when I am tempted to complain about God's lack of presence in my life, I remind myself that God has much more reason to complain about my lack of presence in His life. God wants to be real to you. He took on flesh. He kept His flesh. He's up in heaven. He wants to identify with you. He went to the cross for you. Here's what He asks. Here's how you start this relationship with God if you don't know Him in a personal way this morning. Here's what was preached right after He ascended into heaven by Peter himself. Peter said, repent therefore. Have a change of thought. It's not God way up there and me way down here. Have a change of thought. It's not, I'm going to be good to go when I stand before God. Change your thinking. You're a sinner, you're separated. God came. He lived a perfect life. He died on the cross. Repent and turn to God. He doesn't say jump through hoop. He doesn't say get baptized. He doesn't say get confirmed. He doesn't say join Lakeside Fellowship. He doesn't say be a deacon. He doesn't say be a pastor. Go out and buy a Bible. Put your name on the front. He doesn't do anything like that. He says repent. Have a change of mindset about yourself and about God. And turn to Him. He's knocking. He just wants you to turn. I thought about having everybody just stand up and turn, but I thought about some people who have eaten too many sugar cookies. I thought they'd get dizzy and fall over, so I decided not to do that. It's not a huge hoop that God's asking for here to jump through. He's saying, repent and turn to Me. Now notice the promises of God if you'll just do that this Christmas season. Here's what He says. Verse 19 says, repent, turn to Me, and first promise of two, your sins will be blotted out. I'll take care of the record in heaven. Your sins will be gone. There's not going to be any separation anymore. There's going to be free fellowship between you and God. Your sins are gone. It's not like I'm going to pretend like He didn't commit them. He blots them out. He takes them away. And then listen to verse 20. And this is where this ought to get somebody excited here this morning that's come in and life is a bummer. Here's the second promise. So the first promise, you blot out your sins. The second promise is, I'll bring times of refreshing. I'll hit the reset button on your life. I'll bring times of refreshing. And the verse says, from the presence of the Lord. Paul wrote many times, all those who call upon the name. That's not a huge hoop to jump through. All those who call upon the name will be rescued. They'll be saved. So as I close, just think with me this morning about the blessing of us individually not being able to get to God because of our sin. So God came to us. Emmanuel, God with us. He's with us. He's not against us. He's not against you. He didn't come to condemn. John 3, verse 17 and 18, He came to reconcile. He wants to be right with you. God with us. He's not somewhere else. He's not absentee. He didn't check out early. God with us. You don't need to be alone. He's God with us. He was born in a manger. He died on a cross. He ascended into heaven. He has a fleshly body. He wants to be with us.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Lakeside Fellowship Podcast. If you have any questions about this message or if you'd like more information about our church, please don't hesitate to contact us. Thanks. We'll see you next week.